Study 8, Section 3, The Nature of Jesus. The word nature means fundamental, essential being. We have shown in Study 1 that the Bible speaks of only two natures, that of God and that of man. By nature, God cannot die or be tempted, and so on. It is evident that Christ was not of God's nature during his life. He was, therefore, of human nature. From our definition of the word nature, it is evident that Christ could not have had two natures simultaneously. It was vital that Christ was tempted like us, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, so that through his perfect overcoming of temptation, he could gain forgiveness for us. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us. Hebrews 4, verse 15, expresses a truth negatively. It suggests that even in the first century, there were those who thought that Jesus cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The writer is stressing that this is not the case. Jesus can be touched in this way. These incipient tendencies to wrong understanding of the nature of Jesus came to full fruit in the false doctrine of the Trinity. The wrong desires which are the basis of our temptations come from within us, Mark chapter 7, verses 15 to 23, from within our human nature, James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. It was necessary, therefore, that Christ should be of human nature so that he could experience and overcome these temptations. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, puts all this in so many words. As the children, that is us, are partakers of flesh and blood, that is human nature, he, that is Christ, also himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy the devil. For truly he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the nature of the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it was appropriate that he be made like unto his brothers, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. This passage places extraordinary emphasis upon the fact that Jesus had human nature. He also himself likewise partook of it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. This phrase uses three words, all with the same meaning, just to drive the point home. He partook of the same nature. The record could have said he partook of it too, but it stresses he partook of the same. Hebrews 2 verse 16 similarly labours the point that Christ did not have angel's nature, seeing that he was the seed of Abraham, who had come to bring salvation for the multitude of believers who would become Abraham's seed. Because of this, it was necessary for Christ to have human nature. In every way, he had to be made like unto his brothers, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17, so that God could grant us forgiveness through Christ's sacrifice. To say that Jesus was not totally of human nature is therefore to be ignorant of the very basics of the good news of Christ. Whenever baptized believers sin, they can come to God confessing their sin in prayer through Christ. First letter of John chapter 1 verse 9. God is aware that Christ was tempted to sin exactly as they are, but that he was perfect, overcoming that very temptation which they fail. Because of this, God, for Christ's sake, can forgive us. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It is therefore vital to appreciate how Christ was tempted just like us, and needed to have our nature for this to be possible. Hebrews 2, verse 14, clearly states that Christ had flesh and blood nature to make this possible. God is spirit, John's Gospel chapter 4 verse 24, by nature, and as spirit, he does not have flesh and blood. Christ, having flesh nature, means that in no way did he have God's nature during his mortal life. Previous attempts by men to keep God's word, that is, to overcome totally temptation, had all failed. Therefore, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and by a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Romans 8, verse 3. The wages of sin is death. To escape this predicament, man needed outside help. By himself, he is incapable of perfection. It was and is not possible for us as fleshly creatures to redeem the flesh. God therefore intervened and gave us his own Son, who experienced our sinful flesh with all the temptation to sin which we have. And like every other man, Christ overcame every temptation, although he had the possibility of failure and sinning just as much as we do. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 describes Christ's human nature as sinful flesh. A few verses earlier, Paul spoke of how in the flesh dwells no good thing, and how the flesh naturally militates against obedience to God. That's Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. In this context, it is all the more marvelous to read that Christ had sinful flesh in Romans 8, verse 3. It was because of this, and his overcoming of that flesh, that we have a way of escape from our flesh. Jesus was intensely aware of the potential to sin within his own nature. He was once addressed as good master, with the implication that he was good and perfect by nature. He responded, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is, God." That's Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. On another occasion, men started to testify of Christ's greatness due to a series of outstanding miracles which he had performed. Jesus did not capitalize on this, because he knew all and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. That's John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25 in the Greek text. Because of his great knowledge of human nature, he knew all about this. Christ did not want men to praise him personally in his own right. He was aware of his own nature. All this can seem almost impossible to believe, that a man with our weak nature could in fact be sinless by character. It requires less faith to believe that Jesus was God and was therefore perfect. Hence the attraction of this false doctrine. Those who knew the half-sisters of Jesus in first century Palestine felt the same. His sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man these things? And they were offended in him. That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 56 and 57. And countless others have likewise stumbled in this way.